Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week, here in the United States and in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft and someone who knew neither John Swinton nor the press offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying. He said, "There's no such thing at this date of world history in America as an independent press." Now you know it and I know it. "And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand you'd never see it appear in print. And I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. Now, the business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread." Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, you know, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order. The men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, the Bundys, the Carnegies, the Vanderbilts. You know, it's time we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers, preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through, let's survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this Global 2000 Bible prophecy in the New World Order, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. Call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Hey, we've been talking about the secret guide to health. There's a cause for bad health. Cause and effect relationship. Bad food causes bad health. And one of two things is happening to us. Either one, we're being starved to death, or two, we're being poisoned, or it could be a combination of both. And in most cases here in America, we're getting both poisons in our food. These are called additives. So we're being poisoned. We got drug poisoning. You know, if you're 65 years old, on average, you're on six drugs. That's the number I heard, six drugs. This guy Wayne Green says it's seven. Maybe we've moved up a drug. And all of those drugs are poison. Every single one of them has side effects. Anybody who's taking drugs, whether it's aspirin or prescription drugs, or you're taking drugs down off of Joe on the street corner, you are a drug addict. That's a practice of witchcraft. It's prohibited in Scripture. And there's an outcome. There's a cause and effect relationship that comes from it. Drugs cause bad health. Nobody is getting good health because of drugs. It is true that if you've got pain and you're taking a drug, it may dull the pain, may eliminate it. But it hasn't cured anything. The underlying cause that caused that pain to start with is still there, and you haven't addressed that. And allopathic medicine here in America does not address the cause of disease. It addresses the symptoms. You got a pain? Let's take it away. I remember one day I had gout, and I went up to the doctor. I thought I had a broken ankle. Sprained at least, maybe broken. And logically, I jumped off the back of a dump truck. And because I jumped off the back of it and I felt pain, I said, uh-oh, that wasn't too good. I mean, I fell off a trailer here not too long ago, a few years back. It's been, I guess, a while back now. And that hurt me bad. I had a bale of hay fall on me. Well, that hurt me bad. So, you know, you associate pain with, well, what happened? Well, a bale of hay fell on me. I guess that's why I hurt. Well, I jumped off the back of this dump truck, and sure enough, pain in my ankle, in my foot, and so I thought, well, it's broken. I went to the doctor. He took x-rays, says, well, the good news is there's no broken bones. Then he offered me a prescription. He said, here, let me give you this prescription. And I said, well, what's that for? And he says, well, it's for the pain. You got pain? We got a prescription for pain. I said, Doc, I don't need a prescription for pain. I know there's something wrong with my foot, my ankle, but I don't know what it is. And I came here for you to tell me, and you can't tell me. So I guess I got to go somewhere else. Paid me $75, and I left. Came back home. Wife said, you got gout, dummy. Took me off meat. A week later, the pain went away. Well, sure enough, there it was. There was a cause and effect relationship. I was poisoning myself with something pretty common called protein. We all eat protein. Protein is a necessary ingredient in life. You have to have protein. You need about 3 ounces of it a day. You know, if you're a normal Joe six-pack working your job, you know you need about 3 ounces a day. We go to the restaurant, and they feed us a pound. I mean, you know, when you go in and you have a steak dinner, you know, or, you know, prime rib, you know, at Steak and Ale. I mean, they bring you out this great big chunk of steak, you know, and you sit there and chow down on it. Well, that's pretty tasty. And I like to eat steak, and I think that's pretty good. Now, when I eat that steak, knowing this, how much does my body actually need? And the answer is 3.5 ounces. How much am I going to eat? I'm going to eat 16 ounces. Now, that's about 5 times more than I need. 5 times more. So that means that when I eat this pound of steak here today, probably I don't need to eat any more meat for about a week. 5 days anyway. But, you know, if I didn't eat meat for a week, it wouldn't hurt me a bit. Now, we can poison ourselves, children, on very common things. I mean, health, you know, you can just take something that's normal, like honey. Honey really tastes good, doesn't it? And honey is filled with all kinds of vitamins and minerals. In fact, God gave us a land. He called it the land of milk and honey. But you know, you can overdose on the stuff. You know, 3.5 ounces of meat is good. 6 ounces has got to be twice as good. 12 ounces has got to be even 4 times gooder. And then pretty soon, you know, I mean, we're just eating so damn much of it. And I'll tell you what will happen. If you eat meat to excess, you're going to get pains in your joints. And you know what that pain is? Gout. Joint pain, gout. Now, it may be rheumatoid arthritis, it could be arthritis, it could be gout. There's a number of names that we apply to these symptoms over here, but keep in mind that something as common as protein can be a poison. And it's just the same thing with honey. Just try it. Just sit down, start eating honey. Don't eat anything else, just eat honey. Take a spoonful, lick it off, you know, take your time. Just keep eating it and eating it and eating it. You know what's going to happen? You're going to puke. I guarantee it. There's no two ways about it. You're going to puke. Now, honey in moderate amounts is pretty good stuff. In excessive amounts, it's not such good stuff. And in overly excessive amounts, it's just plain detrimental. Common stuff. I mean, you know, you can just eat until you make yourself sick. So it shouldn't be a surprise then that we Americans over here, we're just taking good stuff and we're just using it to such a degree that we're making ourselves sick. Now, Big Macs, you know, if you ate one a year, would probably be all right. But when you're eating one a day, boy, that's going to kill you. You eat one of those McDonald's hamburgers every day, every day, every day, every day. See, it's made up of 30% fat by law. The lawmakers put 30% fat in there. Now, in the last program, I said these lawmakers are doing this for a reason. I said the lawmakers are complicit with industry for the purposes of killing us. Now, it could well be, and I wouldn't go so far as to say that the lawmaker is sitting there putting two and two together and saying he's going to kill you, but let me show you a little sidelight here. I told you about Dick Armey. Dick Armey, when he put that rider in the bill, well, surprisingly, this guy Wayne Green reports on that on page 202. Let me give it to you. One of the biggest mysteries in Washington is who inserted a two-paragraph rider in the Homeland Security bill, which confers virtual immunity to drug makers. Remember, I reported to you last time. It was in some other bill. Well, it was Homeland Security. It has nothing to do with health. And Dick Armey was the mystery man that did this. Came out later. Dick Armey from Texas. The suspected culprit is the mercury based preservative used in vaccines for diseases such as mumps and measles. Hundreds of parents have sued the drug manufacturers for including mercury in their vaccines after their children have been diagnosed as autistic. In 2002, Eli Lilly alone gave $1.6 million, mostly in cash, to GOP political candidates. Their investment clearly paid off. The Democrats failed their biggest contributors, the trial lawyers. So these constituencies of donors, you know, the Trial Lawyers Association, they donate their money mainly to Democrats. And the pharmaceutical industry, they donate their money primarily to the Republicans. That's to propagandize us with TV ads. To get us to come out and vote for these perverts and these criminals. And I've told you the last time, whoever it was that put that rider on that bill is not ignorant. He didn't do that accidentally. He knew what he was doing when he did it. He did it surreptitiously. And he did that to harm us so that we could not sue the pharmaceutical people who are causing autism through the mercury in their vaccines. Why do they put mercury in the vaccine? Hell, I don't know. I don't know. But they do. And now there's side effects that come from that. Alzheimer's disease probably doesn't come totally from the mercury in there, but it certainly isn't helping you. And it probably is a primary cause, probably. Certainly isn't helping you. And if you take five flu shots in succession, you've just increased your chances for Alzheimer's by 10 times. Now, you know, you don't have to be real smart to figure this out. And all of the politicians and all of the pharmaceutical companies and all the doctors and all the AMAs and the National Health Institute and the FDA and the World Health Organization, all these people know that. They know it. And they're not doing anything to solve the problem. They're working hard to hide it, cover it up, and exacerbate the problem for profit. Sick people make money, well people don't. It's just that simple. All right. Now, for you and I, you know, that's those of us down here at the bottom are bottom feeders. We need to be smart enough to figure this out and then say, well, what am I going to do to solve that problem for myself? I need a solution for me. I'm not going to change Dick Armey's skullduggery. I'm not going to change 535 members of Congress. I can't match $1.6 million from the pharmaceutical industry. I don't have enough money to buy that many votes. Now, the Trial Lawyers Association, they can buy votes, and they do. And the pharmaceutical industry, they can buy votes, and they do. And the food industry, and all these big multinational corporations like ADM and Cargill and so on, these guys, they've got money, they can buy these votes, and the politicians will sell their votes to the highest bidder. They're just that way. They're corrupt. Now, you and I live in a corrupt world, and we live in a world that's filled with all kinds of chicanery. And, you know, as bottom feeders, we have to live just like everybody else. We got car payments to make and house payments to make and bread snappers to feed, and, you know, so let's get after it. So in spite of all of these debilitating circumstances working against us, there's still life and there's still light at the end of the tunnel. So let's get after it. Let's come up with a solution to the problem. The first thing we have to do is to identify the problem. If you can't identify the problem, then you can never solve it. And that's where this guy Wayne Green comes in. And this neat little book over here identifies probably, I'm just going to give you a number here, probably 50 problems. And quite frankly, it's going to be debilitating psychologically because, oh my God, 50 problems. Hell, you probably can't make your house payment this month. That's problem number one. And then old Gordon comes along and says, well, listen, let me give you 50 more problems from this guy over here. But here's the bright spot. Every one of these problems has a solution. See, your house payment this month, it probably doesn't have a problem. And that's because you don't have a solution. Boys and girls, if you don't have a solution to the problem, you don't need to know what the problem is. That's what I tell my students coming right out of the chute. And when you walk in the doors of the Gordon Law School, if I cannot tell you the solution to your problem, you don't need to be here. I'm wasting your time. I'm stealing your money. So when a guy walks in the door, and I tell people pretty plainly, you don't belong in this law school because we don't have a solution to your problem. You're just wasting your time. Marching on cancer is a waste of your time. Sending money to build houses below sea level is a waste of your time, effort, energy, and money. All of that New Orleans money that you're spending down there, it's all going to be destroyed again. I mean, that's just where reality's at. You people rebuilding your houses down there on the Gulf Coast, have fun. Get after it. Because hurricanes are going to come along and blow them down again. That's why I'm not in favor of rebuilding. I'm not telling you people you should not build on the Gulf Coast. I can think of all kinds of neat reasons why you should build your house on the Gulf Coast. You just ought not to use George Gordon's money to do it, and you ought not to be coercive about it and compel me to pay money to you to build your house and subsidize your lifestyle in a dangerous location. But if you want to live there, spend your money, build your house. Do it. Get after it. But I don't want to do that. Now, I'm living in another area that's dangerous. I told you this last time. We have tornadoes here. So far this year, I just saw the number the other day. We've had over 900 tornadoes here in the United States just in the first few months of the year 2008. That's more tornadoes than we had in 2005, 2006, and 2007 already this year. And just in 5 months, that's more tornadoes than we had in the whole year of those past 3 years. Now, I don't know, global warming, I don't know if it's Great Tribulation and God's doing it to us. I'm here to tell you that I'm not expecting a tornado to hit my house because I've got a guardian angel who works hard to protect it. There are laws that are in force and effect here, and I try to get in harmony with those laws so that it doesn't happen to me. Now, if you want to build a house down on the Gulf Coast, and you want to use time and chance as the guide, you know, then you're just asking for trouble. Build your house on the Gulf Coast, and you practice the Ten Commandments as opposed to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, and you might have some merit there. There is a God in heaven that could protect your house, you know, from hurricanes and tornadoes. He does. You know, those tornadoes, they don't hit just everybody, just you guys, you bottom feeders in the trailer parks. All right, now let's take a look here at this mercury. Dentists who have been using dental amalgam for fillings were found to have four times the normal level of mercury in their bodies by researchers at the Glasgow Royal Infirmary. All right, if you've got mercury fillings in your mouth, you're going to have four times more mercury running around inside your body than people that don't. Do you think mercury running around in your body is good? Well, it may not be enough to harm you. And this is the dilemma that we find ourselves in. children are being given 35 vaccines. Not all children get autism. Only 1 in 68. And so we're being told that that is a level of bad results that we can expect. They're telling us that it's worth that kind of result. Well, unless, of course, it's your kid that gets autism. Now, mercury has been linked to autism. Now, the dentists, they deny it. And the pharmaceutical companies, they deny it. But, of course, they have a law to protect them from being sued, just in case you can prove it. So, you know, they want to hedge their bets. Now, for some reason, they've started taking the mercury out of their vaccines, but slowly. See, what they're going to do, they'll take it out over time, but they're going to claim that, well, it wasn't the mercury anyway. They have to do this for legal reasons. Otherwise, we'd come after them with a vengeance and sue them. We would sue every dentist in the country for putting the dental amalgam in your mouth. Every dentist in America is fully informed and fully aware of mercury. Now, that mercury filling is 50% mercury and 50% silver. The silver is good for you, the mercury is bad for you. So they put the two of them together, it's called amalgam, and they plug up that cavity. And here, it works. I've had mercury in my mouth for years. I got rid of it, I got it all taken out, but I had it in there for years. And God knows what it did to my body. I don't know what it did to my brain. I don't know what it did to my IQ. But, you know, I'm still here, I'm still living. I didn't get autism, I didn't, you know. But it sure as hell didn't do me any good. Now, we can get rid of the mercury in our bodies. It can be chelated out. I mean, if you've got mercury in your body, it can be taken out. And I'm not here to recommend that you get the mercury fillings taken out of your mouth. Why don't you read some books on mercury and then come to your own conclusion, make up your own mind as to whether that's good for you or bad for you. I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm hardly able to make decisions for myself, much less you. Now, people call the law school here every day, and they say, Mr. Gordon, what should I do about this? Mr. Gordon, what should I do about that? And what's happening here is you people are dissatisfied with your guardians. And you're looking for a new guardian, and you want me to take up that role, and I'm here to tell you that I'm not here to become your guardian. I'm not here to take your tithes and offerings. I'm here to spread information. I'm a reporter. I'm here to report on information, to report on facts, so that you can make a better, more informed decision. That's why I'm reporting on this book called The Secret Guide to Health. It's a common sense guide to health. And there's about 50 problems and about 50 solutions in the book. I mean, this is a book with solutions. It says, this will solve your problem. Now, he's got a couple of ideas in here, like go out and vote, and that's going to solve your problem. I got news for you kids. You've been voting for the last 225 years and it hasn't solved your problems yet, and it's getting worse. Has it occurred to you yet that voting doesn't solve your problem? I'm not here to tell you to vote or not to vote. If you think voting is going to solve your problem, get out there and vote. I'm not going to waste my time voting. I'm going to spend my time doing something constructive for me. I'm just thinking about me. But don't spend your time calling me and then saying, well, Mr. Gordon, can you tell me what I should do? Now, oftentimes, what's disappointing here, I say, well, if I was doing this, here's what I would do. And then I talk to these people later, and then I say, they'll say to me, well, my house is foreclosed on. No. Well, I didn't do what you told me, and I did something else. Okay. When I actually tell people, well, here's what I would do if I was faced with that, they don't do it. They go out and do whatever the hell they were going to do anyway. So why are you calling me to ask me what I would recommend that you do? I suppose if I said, here's what you should do. Do this. Then if it turns out wrong, you can call me up and you can say, well, now, Mr. Gordon, I did what you told me, and they foreclosed on my house, and it's all your fault. See, you probably need a scapegoat. That's probably what your problem is. You need somebody that you can blame. So if you vote, there's always somebody you can blame. It's some guy in politics. The guy in politics, he's not your problem. You are your own problem. You know, I found out a long time ago that I'm the guy that's causing all my own bad health. I caused my bad health out of ignorance. I had mercury put in my mouth. Now, I got the mercury taken out of my mouth, and my health has dramatically improved. Dramatically improved. Now, this is the stuff that as a child I played with and used to coat knives. It turns out that its vapors are easily inhaled, and it also migrates through your skin to your brain. It takes 15 to 30 years for half of it to leave your body. It's been found to cause Alzheimer's, kidney dysfunction, multiple sclerosis, food allergies, impaired immune system, fatigue, poor memory, and psychological disorders. All right, now, that's just a few that are caused by mercury. Let me run that by you again. Mercury. Amalgam fillings in your mouth. Mercury. Thimerosal in your vaccines. You're shooting up mercury. It's a god-awful, deadly, toxic poison. I think there are some poisons out there that might be more toxic. There's a thing called ricin, you know, that's a deadly toxic. But I mean, this mercury, boys and girls, is right up there. It's right up there with strychnine and arsenic. And if I said, well, let's put some arsenic fillings in your cavities. Let's put some arsenic in your vaccines. What would you think of that? Hey, let's put a little strychnine in your vaccines and in your amalgam fillings. Huh? What? You know, you'd look at me and say, what, you're going to put arsenic? You're going to put strychnine in my body? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Well, then why in the hell does it make sense to put mercury in your body? How does that make any more sense than arsenic? Now, you know, your body can take a little bit of arsenic. Your body can take a little bit of mercury, and it probably isn't going to give you autism or Alzheimer's disease, but you don't know that. You don't know what your body's tolerances are. If you could live your life without ever ingesting any arsenic, any strychnine, or any mercury, it wouldn't harm you. Those are deadly toxic poisons. It's not, you know, you can live to be 110 without any mercury in your body. But with mercury in your body, it's very questionable as to whether or not you can live to be 70. So, it's not for me to tell you that you shouldn't do this, but let me tell you again, this is the stuff that as a child we played with, you know. Mercury has been around for years and years. We use it in gold mining. It takes 15 to 30 years for half of it to leave your body. So, you know, if you take this thimerosal into your veins, it's going to be there for 15 to 30 years. Well, half of it is going to be there 15 to 30 years. And it's a god-awful bad stuff, so if you think that you want this in your body, if you ladies, you young mothers out there, if you think that this mercury is good for your baby, and you want to start your baby on vaccines, starting at age 2 months through 5 years, 35 vaccines, 25 of those 35 will have thimerosal. If you think that's good for them, get after it. Now, if you want to run the risk of autism, go to it. It only affects 1 in 68. There's a hell of a good chance that your child can go through all 35 of these vaccines without getting autism. After all, 67 of them do. One of them out of 68 is going to come down with autism. And if your kid doesn't get autism, well, those vaccines were good. And if your kid gets autism, well, then those vaccines were bad. My conclusion is you don't need to take the risk. You don't need any vaccinations at all. None. Zero. Zilch. The vaccines is a fairy tale. If you think the health comes from vaccines, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy again. You're misinformed, ladies. Misinformed. Again, and it's happened to you more than once, and it's going to happen to you again. Now, it's been found to cause Alzheimer's. Write that down, boys and girls. Alzheimer's. Kidney dysfunction. note, if you need to be on a dialysis machine, and we have a lot of people on those, more than likely the mercury in your body did it to your kidneys. Multiple sclerosis, food allergies, impaired immune system, fatigue, poor memory, and psychological disorders. And mothers with mercury poisoning from their fillings can expect birth defects in their children. And that's 5% here in the United States. That's 1 out of 20. Now, you've had some babies, ladies, and you didn't have birth defects. Well, just keep after it. Every 20 babies, you should expect one. And yet, with all this becoming common knowledge, many dentists are still using amalgam fillings and denying the long-range health dangers. If you still have any amalgam fillings, get them replaced with plastic as soon as you can. All right? That's this guy's advice. That's not me now. That's this Wayne Green. Now, he's an evangelist. He wants you to have good health. He wants you to go, listen, get those mercury fillings out of your mouth. Do it now, today. I'm sitting here saying, I don't care what the hell you do. I'm a reporter, and I reported these facts to you. I reported to you that there's a guy out here that wrote a book and said, hey, this is bad for you, so that you can have two witnesses. Furthermore, this guy cites all of his stories in here with books that you can go to, and you can get the story. And I just tell my students, well, why don't you go do a Google search on mercury fillings? Hell, there's plenty of information out there if you'd avail yourselves of it. Now, whether or not you should do this is your decision in life to make. Don't call me and say, Mr. Gordon, should I have the mercury fillings taken out of my mouth? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know, Bob. I don't know if that's good for you or not. I don't know. Can you afford to have that done, Bob? Can you make your house payment this month and spend $2,000 and have the mercury taken out of your mouth? I don't know. Hell, you know more about it than I do. I just figured out one day that it was worth the $2,000 for me to get the mercury taken out of my mouth. Now, I spent money to have it put in there, and then I had to spend $2,000 to have it taken out. Was it worth the $2,000? I thought it was. Hell, I would have spent $4,000 or $8,000 to have it taken out. The dentist that did it could have got twice as much money. If he'd have told me $4,000 instead of $2,000, I'd have paid him $4. If he'd have said $8,000, I would have paid him $8,000. To get it out of my mouth, because I thought that was good for me. Bob, I don't know what's good for you. Now, this guy Green, evidently, he thinks he knows what's good for you, because he told you here in his book, he says, get them out of your head. Have them replaced with plastic just as soon as you can. As soon as you can. I don't know how soon you can, Bob. I don't know. Root canals? That's another story. You know, root canals, that's another bad thing for you. But, you know, should you have a root canal? I don't know. Why don't you look up root canal, Sally? Hey, why don't you decide for yourself whether you should have a root canal? Why call me and ask me? Why try to put the monkey on my back? Why don't you grow up? Why don't you act like an adult? Why don't you make that decision for yourself? But this guy, Green, can give you the answers and tell you where to go get the information. And I thought that was really good. And then this guy Green, now let me give you his name and number again. His name is Wayne Green. Wayne Green. He lives up at Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. 03449. That's the zip code, 03449. Now he's got a phone up there. I always like to get on the telephone, pester these people. Number 603-588-0107. That's 603-588-0107. Now, I'm pushing his book. I've never talked to this guy. I don't know him from Adam. He ain't paying me a kickback to sell his book. Furthermore, from the internal evidence in the book, looks like he doesn't need it anyway. He doesn't need the money. I think he can take care of himself without selling the book. But he's an evangelist, and he wants to help you people get over your bad health. I'm not. Old George Gordon, he's not trying to help you get well. I don't care if you're sick or not. But I do care whether or not you have full disclosure. I think all of us deserve and ought to have full disclosure so that we can make intelligent decisions for ourselves. We will make enough bad decisions with full disclosure. You will make no good decisions with only half the story. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And then we're heard in more than 112 countries worldwide over the internet and radio daily. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, nonsectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed to the website as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse will reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour, the Law School, or the editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about some solutions here to common problems like AIDS. Let's suppose for sake of our discussion you got AIDS. There's a number of alternative cures to AIDS. One of them has been patented. The other, that is the ultraviolet light, I don't know if that's patented or not. I remember that old Doc Lester used it on me for another disease. They needed to kill a bunch of pathogens in my body. And so he used ultraviolet light to do that. So that's where I learned that trick, was from old Doc Lester. He was a naturopath. He was also a medical doctor and a chiropractor. He was all three tickets, one guy. Pretty knowledgeable guy. What I wanted to point out to you here in this program, all of these dentists, every dentist in America, unless this sucker has an IQ of 80 and he's brain dead suffering from Alzheimer's, knows that mercury is highly toxic and that it's bad for you. The reason he's recommending that we put in mercury fillings is to deny that there is any legal consequence that comes from it. The American Dental Association is denying that these amalgam fillings are causing any side effects. And they're doing that for legal reasons. And if I was recommending, if I was advising a client as his lawyer, I would advise him to shut up. Don't admit anything. Which is exactly what they're doing. They're shutting up and they're not admitting to anything to avoid the legal responsibility. All right. Now, what does that do for you, Joe, Sally, Bill, Bob, Tom? It says you and I then have to be as smart as the local dentist, and we have to get the mercury out of our mouths. Mothers, stop shooting your kids up with mercury in their shots. I mean, the shots are bad enough without the mercury. You ought not to be shooting your kids up with vaccines in any regard. But my God, to shoot your kid up with the vaccine and put mercury in it is like shooting your kid up and putting arsenic in it. I mean, you wouldn't put arsenic or strychnine in it. Why would you put mercury in it? And if you think that your doctor is doing this because it's good for your kid over here or it's harmless, you got your head up the wrong end, Mabel. Wake up and smell the coffee. He's doing that for profit. He's wicked, he's evil, and he smiles a lot. And he's got a great personality and a wonderful bedside manner. He's just a hell of a nice guy. And he's poisoning you with drugs, and he does it for profit. He is wicked and evil beyond description. Hell, I would prefer Saddam Hussein. I knew he was wicked and evil, but he wasn't hiding it. Adolf Hitler was wicked and evil, but he wasn't hiding it. Hell, he was right out there in the open and said, hey, let's kill all these Jews. Let's kill all these gypsies. I mean, he just came right out and said it. Your doctor, he doesn't come right out and say, let's kill all these goyim. Let's kill all these, well, you know, let's... He's got a wonderful bedside manner, you know. He's just nice guy. He's just a Joe Charlie six-pack, you know, just like you. But he's making a profit off of it. Let's wake up. Now, here's cancer. Now, here's another one. A five-page article in Business Week on cancer was all about traditional treatment. Well, they're certainly not going to take even a slight chance of offending the pharmaceutical industry. There was no hint of what's causing cancer. No hint that there are any treatment alternatives. Since no consumer publication dares to challenge the medical industry, the FDA, the drug industry, HMOs, and the parasitic sickness insurance industry, the only way the word is going to get out is for you to tell anyone who will listen that cancer is easy to cure. Any cancer. And with no drugs. No chemotherapy, no radiation, no surgery, and I mean cure. Not that remission crapola. I'm going to read that paragraph to you again. I think that's very important. This guy's name is Wayne Green, and I don't know if I'm echoing him or he's echoing me, but I agree 100%. I've reported on this in the past. Let me tell you again. Now, no consumer publication dares to challenge the medical industry. The FDA, the drug industry, HMOs, and the parasitic sickness insurance industry. The only way the word is going to get out is for you to tell anyone who will listen that cancer is easy to cure. Easy to cure. Cancer. Easy to cure. Any cancer. Lung cancer, brain cancer. Ted Kennedy, with that rapidly expansive brain tumor, could be easily cured. He will not be. He will die from it. He is going to go with chemicals and radiation. Just bet on it. And he's going to die from it. It could be cured. And without drugs, without chemo, without radiation, without surgery. And I mean cure, not just a remission. Now, this veil of secrecy is killing millions of people. No, I'm not an MD. Hell, if I was, I wouldn't dare make such a statement. I'd lose my license in a wink. But I do believe in the word of doctors Lorraine Day, Bruno Combi, Henry Beiler, and a bunch of others who are never mentioned in medical schools or the medical press. These are the people who were conventional medical doctors who discovered the cures to the disease cancer and have cured patients with it. Nobody brings their names up. The name, Dr. Lorraine Day. I mean, hell, Joe Sixpack is better known than Lorraine Day. And that's because I've made Joe Sixpack more of a household word than I have Lorraine Day. Now, there's 14 cures to cancer, boys and girls, and nearly all of them, not all, but nearly all, 9 or 10 of them, 11, were discovered by medical science and then buried, like I reported last time. The cure to AIDS is patented, but it's been buried. And that's just one of two that I know of for AIDS. Now, there's a reason for this. And when cancer strikes, the victims learn soon enough that it is incurable. Over 500,000 Americans are dying every year from cancer. That the best they can hope for is remission. Now, that's what's being sold to you people. Just the only thing you can hope for is remission. $340,000 worth of remission over 5 years. That's the best you can hope for. That's BS. BS. And furthermore, I don't know how many doctors, but I'll guarantee you this. Most doctors know that. You can't be a medical doctor without knowing that there are alternative cancer cures out there. If you're a medical doctor listening to me right now, you've got to have your head right up your rectum to believe such a thing. Now, there may be some out there that honest to God believe that, but they're out of touch with reality. You can rest assured that the heads of these major medical institutions like the AMA know better. Now, it's true that Joe and Sally Housewife, I mean, the average Joe Sixpack doesn't know this. We had a lady across the road over here, my neighbor, and a nice lady in her 40s. She got breast cancer, and then she went to the doctors, and they had chemotherapy, and when they went through the conventional treatment. Her husband worked down here at a company that had, in fact, it was a medical company, and they had health insurance. And they went the health insurance route, and she died, which was predictable. Now, right across the street from this lady is my wife. There isn't anybody in our local community that does not know that my wife has had cancer for 30 years. 30 years. My wife, Jack, has had cancer. 30 years. Has been treating it holistically. Has been treating it with vitamins and minerals and food and so on. I don't know of anybody in our community that doesn't know that. Now, they don't talk about it and they don't ask. And this lady across the road did not call us and ask. Had she called, my wife would have said, well, no, here's what I do for my cancer. I've had cancer for many years. I caused my cancer. I created cancer in my body. It wasn't one of my brighter decisions in life, but I'm stuck with it, and there it is, and I have to deal with it, and I'm a bottom feeder, and I'm dealing with it every day. Every day, my wife, Jackie, deals with her cancer every single day, and has for 30 years. And every day that she lives until she dies, she's going to be dealing with it. It's kind of tragic, and I'm sorry for her, and that's the way it is, but you know. I stuck the mercury in my mouth, and I got to live with the consequences, and so do you. And my wife, Jackie, they got cancer, and she caused it, and by God, she's going to live with it. And that's the breaks of the game. Now, the lady across the road knew that. Not once did that lady across the road ever call and say, now, Mrs. Gordon, I know you have cancer, and now I've got cancer. I've been diagnosed, and I know you've been dealing with it for 30 years. What do you think of cut, burn, poison in hospitals and one thing or another? My wife would have told her. Would have shared books and periodicals with her. Would have said, do a Google search, and would have told her, well, here's what I would do. Here's what I'm doing. I've survived it for 30 years. And the lady now is dead, buried in a hole in the ground, coming up in the second resurrection. And we hope that she learned a lesson from it. And no doubt she did. But she leaves behind her husband and her children and her family members. And all of those people are missing that lady. She made a bad decision. But, you know, it was her decision to make. She made a decision, and I don't think she had all the input. She did not know about alternative therapies. If she had, and maybe she did. And she rejected them. Well, okay. There you are. She made her decision, and there's the outcome of it. So that's what my point is. I think that you should have both sides to the story. Now, he goes on to say here, he says, what a crock. But not one in 10 or 100,000 will ever make any effort to look into the situation and do any research. The public's belief in doctors is almost total. If any cancer victims you meet refuse to even look at my book, maybe you can get them to call then he's got a number here. It's 800-574-2437 and get Dr. Day's video. Cancer doesn't scare me anymore. Yes, she's a real doctor, a famous one. This Dr. Lorraine Day had breast cancer. She was in the final stages of dying from breast cancer. She cured it. Cancer is easy to cure. And this Dr. Day, a medical doctor now, medical, you can trust her, she's a medical doctor, trained, you know, but she jumped the tracks of sanity and she says, oh my God, we can't cure cancer, but there is a cure out there. So as a medical doctor, she said, well, an ethical medical doctor, of which there are a few. There are a few ethical, honest to God, medical doctors who will tell you the truth. They're as rare as hen's teeth, but there are a few out there. I've run across a couple. This Dr. Day is one of them. And she's got a, if you call that number, you'll get, you know, it's just a voice recording. It says, leave your name and number. Give us your Visa card and we'll send you this videotape. And Dr. Day's videotape tells you, well, this is what I did for my cancer. And then it's gone. And I changed my diet. Now, here's what the kicker is. Most of you people who get cancer, you know that there is an alternative out there, but you also know that you have to give up smoking and meat and a number of other things that you don't want to give up. Chocolate, you know. You have to quit eating that crap, at least eating it to excess. Now, I like a Hershey bar, and I like a good steak, and I like to eat chocolate cookies. But I'm smart enough to know that I got to limit my intake. You got to limit the intake, and you don't want to do that. And because you don't want to make that lifestyle change, you do not want alternative health care therapy. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Well, okay, well then the only solution to you then is cut, burn, and poison, which is going to cost $340,000 and you're going to die in about 5 years. Now, it's a choice that you have to make, and it's a tough choice, and I don't deny it. Because if you have to change the way you eat, you got to quit smoking. I'm an old-timey smoker. I smoked for 9 years. I smoked Camel Studs and White Owl cigars. I never had a bad White Owl. I can't ever remember taking a bad puff off my cigarette. I enjoyed smoking. God, it's just really great stuff. So from one smoker to another, let me tell you that smoking's great. I love it. But I couldn't control it. Now, I worked for a guy. His name was Frank Rocha. Old Frank, he wasn't a smoker. He liked to smoke, but he wasn't a smoker. He would go days at a time, and he wouldn't smoke. And then one day, he would say to me, give me one of them Tailamakes. It was called a Tillamook. He was a Portuguese fellow, and he couldn't speak English too well, had an accent. What he was trying to say is tailor-made. They called those cigarettes in a package tailor-made, as opposed to rolling your own. And so I'd give him a Camel cigarette, and he'd sit there, and he'd smoke that Camel cigarette. And yeah, we'd be there talking, and we'd just be having a good old time, and we'd just smoking together, and but oftentimes, you know, I'd say, I'd light up, and then I'd say, Frank, you want a cigarette? No, no, I don't want one. I never failed to offer Frank a smoke. Well, just, you know, the polite thing to do. I mean, you wouldn't eat in front of somebody without offering him, you know. I mean, you wouldn't drink without offering somebody a cup of coffee. I mean, when people come over to your house, you don't sit there and drink coffee and then watch them sit there and you don't offer them a cup, do you? Well, smokers are the same way. You know, when we light up, we offer the other guy a cigarette. And by God, old Frank, he wouldn't take one. And days would go by, and he'd never smoke, and we'd be in the barn, almost always in the barn, milking. And then he would say to me, hey, give me one of those TaylorMades. And he'd light up, and we'd smoke away. Now, there was a guy that could control his smoking habit. I couldn't do that. God, I smoked a pack a day. I had to have my weed. Boy, you take that weed away from me, and I'd go into withdrawal. I'd get irritable. You know, I'd talk about irritation now. I'd get kind of nasty and mean. You know, give me my weeds. Then one day I woke up and I said, hey, this is killing me. I had to make a lifestyle change, and so I made it. and I quit smoking. Now, if you can control smoking, you know, like old Frank did, you know, more power to you. But, you know, alcoholics are like that. Now, I can control drinking. I'll have a beer once in a while. Alcohol's one thing I can control. Now, I can handle that. Smoking, I can't. If I was to start smoking again, hell, I'd be smoking a pack or two a day. I couldn't handle it. So here again, the same thing happens with food. You know, if a little bit of coffee is good, my God, think about how 16 cups a day would be. And you know, this coffee is bad for you. If you could drink a cup once in a while, you know, fine. Now coffee, I handle pretty well. I usually drink coffee when I go out to dinner. When I go out and have a steak, you know, it's in too often. Once in a while, I'll go out and eat in the restaurant over at Amex's or someplace. Now, if you could do that, you know, more power to you. But most of us can't. And quite frankly, what we're talking about here is lifestyle change. And this guy isn't pulling any punches. Remember, his name is Wayne Green. Wrote a book here called The Secret Guide to Health. And he's hot and heavy. Boy, he wants you to quit smoking. He wants you to quit drinking. He wants you to quit eating bad foods, white flour. And he wants you to make these changes. I couldn't care less. I think, though, you ought to have the information at your fingertips so that you can make an informed decision. Let me tell you one more quick story here about silver canteens. Listen to this. During World War I, the German soldiers used silver canteens. This allowed them to drink the local water as they moved around without getting dysentery. Now, dysentery is an illness that debilitated many of the Allied troops. The ability of silver to kill germs was well known long before doctors stopped denying that there were such things as germs. A silver dollar was put into milk to keep it from spoiling, of course. That was back when silver dollars were actually made of silver. And guess what the wealthier people ate with? You got it. Silverware. The common people ate with their hands, and they got sick. Now, today we eat with stainless steel, and we get sick. Silver has been well known to be an antibacterial agent. You ladies, you should wear silver on your wrists, silver bracelets. It's a health thing. And colloidal silver is good for your health. And keep this, silver canteens for the German army. Hell, they knew it. But you don't know that. You can rest assured that medical science knows it, but they're not going to recommend silver when they can sell you penicillin. I mean, hey, you know, silver is cheap for bactericide, but they're not going to sell you a bactericide that's cheap and effective. They want to sell you something that you keep coming back for. Mercury. You know, methylate. All right, I'm out of time again, kids. I got to leave it right there, so let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 112 countries daily over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian, non-commercial law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and can be accessed to the website as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.